The following is a Christians for Messiah Ministries production. Our mandate is to teach God's Word, train God's people, and release God's favor. We now invite you to listen to a powerful message by Dr. Peter Wins as he speaks on the book of Revelation. This is part of a 32-message series called Unexpected Fire. For further study, we encourage you to purchase the book Unexpected Fire by Dr. Peter Wins.
This is study number 9 in our Revelation studies, and this message is called Two Amazing Revivals. We're going to be looking at Revelation chapter 7. To start with, let's just look at the first 4 verses of Revelation 7. This is what we read. After this, I saw 4 angels standing at the 4 corners of the earth, holding back the 4 winds of the earth to prevent any wind from blowing on the land or on the sea or on any tree. Then I saw another angel coming up from the east, having the seal of the living God. He called out in a loud voice to the 4 angels who had been given power to harm the land and the sea, "Do not harm the land or the sea or the trees until we put a seal on the foreheads of the servants of our God." We will stop there and continue reading in just a minute or two. We find here that God is going to put a special protection on his people. A new kind of trauma and destruction is about to fall upon the earth. But the Lord will put a seal on the foreheads of those who are his people. This is not the first time that the Lord has stretched out his hand to protect his people in the midst of trouble and chaos. It happened in Egypt when the plagues were released upon the land. All those in the land suffered from the lice or the locusts or the water turning to blood, or all the frogs that were jumping around the living rooms. But when it came to the 10th plague, the Lord said, "Put the blood from the lamb on the doorposts of your house, and it will be a mark of protection that when the death angel comes, he will pass over you." And from this experience, the Jewish people have the Passover celebration to remember their protection during that time. That was not the only place in the Bible where protection was afforded the people of God. It happened in Ezekiel's day. You can read about it in Ezekiel chapter 9 and verse 4 and verse 6. This is what we read. "Go through the city of Jerusalem and put a mark on the forehead of those who grieve and lament over the detestable things that are done in it. Follow him through the city and kill, but do not touch anyone who has the mark." So here we find that in early ancient days of Israel, a mark was put on the forehead of the people in Jerusalem to protect them from death, the mark of the Lord. At this time in the Great Tribulation, the seal of God will be put on the foreheads of the people of God. I don't think it will be a tattoo or some medical implant or even an invisible number that lights up under special ultraviolet rays. It is just the mark of God that will be on people who follow him. Right now, you have the mark of God on you already. If you are God's people, his name is written on you. And your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let's read on now about the 144,000 and this great Jewish revival. In the next verse, verse 4 of Revelation chapter 7, we read, "Then I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 from all the tribes of Israel. From the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. From the tribe of Reuben, 12,000. From the tribe of Gad, 12,000. From the tribe of Asher, 12,000. From the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000. From the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000. From the tribe of Simeon, 12,000. From the tribe of Levi, 12,000. From the tribe of Issachar, 12,000. From the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000. From the tribe of Joseph, 12,000. From the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000. This is a picture of the Jewish revival that takes place at the beginning of the Great Tribulation. Here, within the first campaign, there is such a great number of Jews who come to Christ. A Jewish revival unfolds. And the Lord puts a seal on those who are the servants of God. Who are the servants of God? There's 144,000 of them, but that is a symbolic number. In the numerology of Scripture, we find that 144,000 is a large family. For the number 12 represents family, like the 12 tribes of Israel. And the number 12 represents family when we see the 12 apostles of the Lamb. At the end of the book, we will again find this number 12 and 144,000 in all of the details that describe the city of God. For this talks about the people of God, the nation, or the kingdom of heaven. So 12 times 12 is 144, times 1,000 is our 144,000. It's a symbolic number of the great family of God. But this specific family is Jewish. The first major revival mentioned here in the book of Revelation is a Jewish revival. It tells us that there's 12,000 from Judah, 12,000 from Reuben, 12,000 from Gad. Some people are involved in an erroneous doctrine that is called replacement theology. They believe that the church has now replaced Israel as the chosen people of God. This could not be farther from the truth. It is true that some of the Israelites were cut off because of hardness of heart. But the Lord tells us that they will be brought back again. We can read this all over the Scriptures. In Romans chapter 11, verse 11, Paul says, "Again I ask, did they, the Jewish people, stumble so as to fall beyond recovery?" And then he says, "Not at all." In Romans chapter 11, verse 17, he says, "If some of the branches," notice he didn't say that all of the Jewish branches were cut off. He says, "If some of the branches have been cut off, and you, Gentiles, though a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among the others and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root." He says, "If you were cut out of an olive tree that is wild by nature, and contrary to nature, were grafted into a cultivated olive tree, how much more readily will these, the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree again?" Jesus taught about this as well. He likened the Jewish people to a fig tree. He said, "A certain man planted a fig tree in his vineyard. And he came looking for fruit on it. And he didn't find fruit on this fig tree. And he was going to cut it down, but the gardener said, 'Let's wait for 3 years and we'll fertilize it and water it and prune it and see if then it gives forth fruit. And if not, we will cut it down.'" This is the fig tree that is Israel. And Jesus came looking for fruit on this fig tree. And do you remember? His ministry was 3 years, 3.5 years. At the end, he said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who have persecuted the prophets, your house shall be left to you desolate until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. A curse came upon the Jewish people and their house was left desolate. But I like that word until. It's a time word. It means that this situation is going to change one day. When you learn to say, blessed is Messiah. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And then Jesus taught on this subject more when he showed a parable to his disciples about the fig tree. And he was walking into this town and he came looking for fruit on a fig tree. But the Bible says it was not the season for the figs. So there was no figs on the tree. And Jesus cursed it. And the next day as they were coming out of this town, Peter said, Lord, there's the fig tree that you cursed. It's withered up from the roots. And the Lord said, have faith in God. Why did Jesus curse a tree? That would not be politically correct in Seattle. But he did it because he was showing the disciples a story, a parable about Israel. The Jewish people were represented by the fig tree. And now look at what he says in Luke chapter 21, verse 27 and 29. Jesus is teaching. He says, look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourself and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with great power and glory. Revival is coming to the Jewish people. When the fig tree starts to sprout its leaves, the time is at hand when Israel starts to come back to life again after 2,000 years of being a dry stick, a dead nation. God has brought this nation back to himself and back to the land. Now, there is a scripture that says that this generation will not pass away until the coming of the Son of Man, till all of these things be accomplished. So many people say, well, in 1948, Israel became a nation, and it's more than one generation since then. Why has not the Lord returned if all of these things shall not pass until the Lord returns? And I think the answer is clear. There are 8 end time promises in the Bible for the Jewish people. 4 of them, at least, are natural promises, and 4 are spiritual. The Lord says, I will give you back your land. Then he says, I will bring your sons and daughters back to your land. Then he says, I will restore your fortunes before your very eyes. Then he says, I will set watchmen on the walls to pray for you until you become the praise of the whole earth. Those 4 promises have begun. But then there are some other promises that are more spiritual, like the Jewish revival that is promised and the glory of the Lord coming upon Israel so that all the nations of the world will rally around her and praise her. And then the glory of God will come so that people will be envious of the Jewish people. The Bible says that 10 men from every nation shall take hold of the coat of one Jew and say, we want to go with you to Jerusalem because we have learned that your God is with you. At the end of it all, we learn that the nations will be gathered together to the Valley of Jehoshaphat, and there they will be judged on how they have treated Israel. Joel chapter 3, verses 1, 2, and 3 tell us that Israel is God's inheritance. And the nations will be judged because they have divided up her land and scattered her people. And at the end of the age, he will judge the nations because of what they have done. These are promises that were given to Israel. And these promises from the Lord will be fulfilled at the end of the age. the physical ones we can see unfolding before our eyes. But we will not see the real leaves of the fig tree shooting out until the spiritual promises are also fulfilled. And once the spiritual promises are fulfilled, those are the fig tree leaves that the Lord is talking about. Those are the shoots that must come. And within that generation, from the revival of Israel, within that generation, actually within 7 years, the Lord will return. And so we read in Romans chapter 11 about this great Jewish revival. Romans 11, 25 says, I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers, so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will turn godlessness away from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. For God's gifts and his call concerning Israel are irrevocable. We read about this also in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, and Zechariah 13, 1. Listen about the Jewish revival. The Lord says, and I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and of supplication, and they will look on me, the one they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son. On that day, a fountain will be opened to the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and impurity. This Jewish revival that's mentioned here in Zechariah is not taking place at the coming of Christ, because it's in the same chapter where the Lord says, and I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock among the nations. And the truth is, for the last 2,000 years, Jerusalem has been a very movable rock among the nations. It is only since 1948 that Israel has and Jerusalem has become an immovable rock, with all of the armies that have come against her, with all of the threats that have come against her. This small country of Israel has stood her ground because the Lord God is with her. That is her national defense. It is not in the strength of their military might, but in the strength of Almighty God, who has prophesied and proclaimed that he will watch over her. Now, these 12 tribes that are mentioned, we cannot say in any way that they are Gentiles. You can't look at this and say, well, I don't think this is really a Jewish revival, even though there's 144,000. Surely we can spiritualize these. Maybe Reuben refers to the redeemed church, and Naphtali could refer to the church of the Nazarene, and Benjamin could be the Baptists. And Simeon could be the Salvation Army. And Levi could be the Lutherans. That would be a gross mishandling of the scriptures to try to say that this is not a Jewish revival. This is definitely a Jewish revival right here in the midst of the great tribulation. But that's not the only revival. Because once the Jewish revival takes place, a second much larger revival will come to pass in the middle of the great tribulation. And so we read in verse 9, John hears these words and he sees this picture. He says, Revelation 7, 9, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. And they were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God. And if we go down to verse 13, we read, then one of the elders asked me, these in white robes, who are they? And where do they come from? I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "Listen carefully now. These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." So there's two revivals here. First, an amazing Jewish revival. But then it says, "And after this I looked, and there before me was such a huge multitude of people that nobody could count them." Now, it doesn't mean that they were uncountable. God can count them. He even knows how many hairs you have on your head. But nobody can keep track. No person on the earth could say how many people are saved now. The revival hits every nation, it says, every tribe, every people group, every language. And John sees them standing before the throne. These are not the Jewish people. They were just mentioned in the first revival. But this is a second revival that is for all the nations of the earth. I reckon there's 1 billion people who get saved in this revival. It is the greatest revival up to this point in all of history. And at this point, one of the elders, those 24 elders, the people in heaven, comes to John and he says, "John, who are these people standing with white robes, redeemed and saved from all the nations, so many that we can't keep track of them all?" He says, "Who are they? And where did they come from?" And John says, "I don't know." And he says, "These are those who have come out of the great tribulation." So it's definitive. In the great tribulation, there are two amazing revivals. One is a Jewish revival with a symbolic 144,000. And a second revival is a worldwide revival from all the nations of the world, so big that nobody can count them. And it happens in the great tribulation. I think right now, all around the world, there is a focus in the churches toward Israel. More people are traveling to Israel. More people are praying for Israel. More people are telling their government representatives to stand in defense of Israel. It has become a focal point, not just in our newspapers, but in our hearts, because this is a sign of the times. It's a prophetic call that comes from heaven to partner with God's restoration for the Jewish people. And we are getting ready for that. But the people in Israel, by and large, right now, are not wanting to receive Jesus as Messiah. And there's much strife there. And many Jews who do not even have a faith in any God whatsoever. But all of a sudden, revival will come to Israel. How can it happen? Well, it happens because God makes it happen. That's what the book of Revelation is all about. It's all about getting people to come to him. And during this time, perhaps with all the Jewish understanding with the Old Testament scriptures, when they see all of these things happening around them, there will be a great revival that comes to them. But what will be the spin-off effect of this around the world? Churches in America, churches in Europe will listen to BBC News and CNN, and they will say, "Look what's happening in the streets of Jerusalem. People are laughing and crying and singing and dancing, and they're saying that Jesus is Messiah." It's not that they have all of a sudden become Christians. They'll still be Jews. But they'll just be Jews who will be completed Jews. Jews who believe that Jesus is Messiah. And they believe that he is their Lord and he is their Savior. And there'll be such revival there that the Christians all around the world will move forward into first gear. They will all of a sudden experience a fire of the Holy Spirit bursting in them. Churches will be filled. revival will come. People will weep. They will say, look, it's finally come. God's promise for Israel. And when they see that, it will be the greatest testimony and the greatest picture of the sign of the times that has ever been known. And the nations will come in great numbers and salvation will come. Revival will hit the planet. It will be an exciting time. It will be a time that the church has never witnessed in all of its history. Get ready for the greatest excitement, the greatest adventure in your life as the end times revivals come to the earth.